Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Before we begin, it's that time. Sponsor mentions. Untapped Maple, you guys. Pure energy, clean from the pure source of Vermont. Maple syrup.
So good.
Maple. I wish I could start over, but I can't. Super easy to digest, super quick to get into the tank. Trying the individual packets, which a lot of you guys do, or the new dispenser bottles to save on packaging. I have one of those. It's kind of cool. You squeeze it and watch it go up the hose, and then it goes into the little measuring thing. It's kind of cool. I don't know. I like
it's like
the little
bleeding disc brakes, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I have a reusable flask that came from them, and that'll hold up to 5 servings. So it's actually pretty cool.
That would all just be one hit for me. I just want an IV of that stuff.
Use the Lincoln back filler. Next off, Mojo Cyclery and Reynolds Wheels. Well, this time, people, that's right. Jackson is our first believer in the magic of Reynolds. We have quite a few guys on Reynolds. I think I say that every week. And big thanks to Mojo and Reynolds for taking care of us. They are Spokane's home for gravel. They do so much more. Head over to mojocyclery.com, do the right thing, and visit them at Spokane Valley at 1405 North Argonne. Your brother was saying that basically you can just trash your Reynolds wheels and they'll replace them.
Mm-hmm.
Really?
Yep. Lifetime warranty.
I thought somebody was going to say, like, no, come on. Now, you can't just go, you know, riding your road bike off loading docks and expect them to replace your wheels.
Mm-hmm. Really? Take them down a flight of stairs. Try it.
I've got the flyer at home.
Yep. Uh-huh. It's awesome. I mean, that's why you pay the price that you pay, right? Mm-hmm. Like, it's because of lifetime. They're killer wheels.
Pack Filler Productions. Pack Filler Productions does not recommend you actually ride downstairs. Huel stands for human fuel, and that it is among their amazing selections of real food. The Black Edition Shake, 40 grams of protein per meal. Super convenient, super tasty. I have the chocolate. Paul has the
salted caramel.
And you've been enjoying it.
Yeah, yep. I use it for after rides.
I was waiting for you to poo-poo it, but you didn't poo-poo
I
it.
In fact, I will be getting more and more.
Well,
there we go.
Yeah. I don't mind even though it's vegan.
I don't think he's going to eat meat.
I wish you'd pronounce it vegan or something.
Vegan.
Yeah, it'd make me
vegan. Are you into them vegans?
Real ingredients like coconut, sunflower seeds, brown rice, and flax seeds is my go-to morning fuel. Just $2.50 per meal is how it equates out to. So be sure to get to Packville and use the link today. Not only support the show, but grab a great-tasting, affordable meals. Trust me, Huel.com/packfiller. Do you have to say / or / anymore? Probably
I
not.
Know.
I don't know. Do people? I think
who does a /
Yeah.
Some animal.
OJ.
Yeah.
Oof.
Yeah,
that's a really old joke.
That's a good one, though.
Yeah. That's really like ancient. It was the first, you know, killer that popped into my head.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just letting the theme play.
God, we're back.
Wow.
And David's not here. So
yeah,
he's
so we're gonna bash him tonight.
Yeah.
I think it's the elf on the shelf comment a couple weeks ago was actually the ultimate.
Yeah.
Where Jackson did the voice.
That was the peak.
Peak. Well, it happened. This is why we can't say nice things anymore, people. And this is why we can't have nice things anymore. I'm officially burned out on the word gravel. I am officially... I think it's because of Unbound, but I'm seeing the word in everywhere. It is being used too much. I love writing it, but it is now being used more often than literally. And it's being used more often than the amount of IPAs offered in local pubs. Time for a new term. Can we just say dirt road writing, please? I know it's longer. Dirt road? No?
No.
I'm getting blank stares across the
gravel privateer.
Grode writing.
Grode? You know, we use words too much, and this is the case. So let's get to Life on Two Wheels. Let's get to the Pack Filler Podcast. I'm Pat Bulger. Let's say hello to tonight's panel of pundits on pedaling. Yeah, I came up with that all by myself. Wow. Tonight's question, everybody, who is the most embarrassing person you have ever had a crush on? Probably a celebrity, I would assume. You know, you don't want to say, the woman I married, because that would probably get you in a lot of trouble. So, do you guys, you got it already?
Yeah.
Okay, I do too. I thought of it immediately. The question came up. So, first of all, he's got a new bike, Mr. Paul Main. How are you, man?
Wow.
All
right.
Yeah.
I saw it. I saw the new bike.
Yeah.
His commuter, belt-driven. Mm-hmm. It's kind of like Urban Assault looking.
Yeah. Mm. It's black. The color you don't like.
No,
bikes,
it is flat black. It is flat black. Yeah. And but it's a commuter, so I'll allow it. I'll allow it.
Mm-hmm. You are fine this time.
I have some salad in my teeth. Anyway.
Do you?
Okay.
No, you're clean.
No, you're good.
Feels
like
something's in there.
Doesn't look like it.
I feel like I've been chasing something around too.
Mm. No, by the taste of it.
Oh, God, that sound. I'm sure the people listening at home, because I record and I just got that slurring sound.
It was a scallion.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
We got it.
Who'd you have a crush on?
This is embarrassing.
Yeah.
Betty Rebel.
What is, who?
Betty Rebel.
Wow.
And from
two
that
of these
point
guys
on,
have no idea who you're talking about.
No.
The Flintstones? You ever watch the
Flintstones? Oh, my God. I know what you're talking about now, yeah. Have you ever seen the Flintstones?
Barney was a lucky guy.
Barney was.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it must have started there because I dated only dark-haired women after that.
Really?
I launched it. Yeah.
It was Betty Rubble's fault.
Betty Rubble.
There you go.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Wow.
What an actress.
God.
She was good.
Played by Rosie O'Donnell in the movie.
I'm glad I never saw the movie
might
because
have been
it was shattered.
Yeah, exactly. Next off, he's got free range to bash his brother, Mr. Samuel Waples. How are you, man?
I'm doing well.
Yeah?
Brother's not here, so...
Yeah.
It's a good night.
Freedom.
Yep.
Yeah.
Man, I really don't think I have any embarrassing crushes. I have super embarrassing like TV shows, things like that that I love.
No, like childhood, oh my gosh, I am in love with Betty White.
Betty Crocker.
I
don't know.
Yeah, exactly.
Britney Spears.
Never liked Britney Spears. Like, truly, the one that I can... I've always had a crush on Emma Watson and Natalie Portman, right? Like,
those are great choices.
Those are great choices, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And my wife.
Oh, right. Nicely done. Nice
good
done.
Call, yeah.
Well, that's a big old...
that's it.
I know.
Thanks,
I don't have anything. I'm awesome.
Thanks a lot, man.
Yeah.
Next, he's got road rash. Actually, he doesn't that much anymore, Mr.
Not
Jackson
that
Bulger.
Much, yeah.
How you feeling, dude?
Good.
We'll get into the story.
Yeah. Let's see. Embarrassing crushes. I think I'm also like Sam. I don't think I had really any embarrassing
love
crushes.
Amazing women.
Kids these days. I mean, if we're gonna be honest, like Lois Griffin, we all know is
that's embarrassing because I have nothing. You're another cartoon.
Well, I mean, I think as
Lois Griffin,
I think
the
as,
mom on Family Guy.
I think as embarrassing, like
just her.
I don't even know. Like,
voice.
It's terrible.
I didn't really have any.
Wow,
embarrassing crushes.
God, yeah, that's. I don't know. I'll send it out there if I do, but I can't think of any.
You guys are lame.
Yeah.
Yeah. You notice all?
Well,
of
I'm looking pretty stupid.
No,
I
haven't gone yet.
Oh.
And my wife can back up mine. Mm-hmm. Me. You notice everything was he's got a new bike. He's got free range. He's got road rash. Me, I've got an ejection fraction of 55%. God.
Yes, you do.
Damn it. And if you don't know what that means my heart is normal. no, low end of normal, but mm-hmm. I'll take it. You know, and personally, I'm just like, you know, I'm lying there at night, you know, punching myself in the chest, going, do better.
In America, like a really pressuring you're above dad. Normal.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. America's got some terrible
cardiologist words. Offices are really depressing places to be.
Yeah.
You see a lot of really unhealthy people in a cardiologist's office. It's
I'm it's saying like, you're wow. above average.
You know,
just don't look at the whole world.
A lot of grasping for breath, a lot of things like that, you know. It's oof. And I got another test on next Wednesday. So I guess they're gonna do the whole inject me with dye and I gotta lie there and make sure my veins are doing what they're supposed to be doing. But anyway, I'm Pat Bolger and I actually had a let me explain myself. I had a crush on, and this is in the early 1990s, on Ellen DeGeneres.
That's rough. That's rough.
Wow.
Yeah, that wasn't going to work out. No. And this was back before she came mm-hmm. out, you know, and mm-hmm. stuff like that. And, you know, and I've always had a thing for funny women. You know, mm-hmm. You got to have a major sense of humor. And so
why not Julie Louis-Dreyfus or something?
Yeah. Oh, I did her too. Oh,
okay.
Literally anybody else.
You did her?
What?
You did her?
Oh, yeah. Oh. I did have a crush okay. on her, too. Yeah, Julie like, Louis-Dreyfus. Yeah, I still would say I have a crush on Julie Louis-Dreyfus. She's awesome. She's cool.
Yeah, she's funny.
You guys are so old. Yeah. I don't know who that is.
You're not Ellen surprising me with that statement. Yeah. I'm quite aware how old I am.
Exactly, yeah.
I got skin that doesn't retract.
It's just hanging.
It flops.
It flops!
It does. And I'm descending, and I've got like... It does not
move.
Curtains.
It does not move.
You know how like they've formed yes, that does. Like
you're shitting me.
No, I'll show you next time we descend over 40 miles an hour.
You know
you'll see the.
They formed that like teardrop arrow profile design, uh-huh. right? So it's like rounded in the front. Then come, that's based off happening. Of your arms.
Yeah, I got flesh curtains now.
Nice, so. Going faster that way.
That's right.
Like seafarings.
Let's do some catching up. Oh, that's a visual. Here I am on the beach. We have a family photo. Notice the blur of my upper arm. There was a breeze. They caught me mid-flap.
On the bright side, you can go full flying squirrel if you jump off a high building.
Yeah. I'll give it a try. I'll tell you how it works out.
I can see my house from here.
I can make it.
It'd be pretty cool, though.
Yeah.
It's not Spider-Man. Geriatric man. Let's do some catching up, shall we? Jackson wasn't here last week, and the week prior provided a reason why he wasn't here last week. Jackson, time to put you on the spot. Why weren't you here, and why haven't you been on your road bike for 2 weeks?
Well, we were racing, 2 weeks ago, I don't know.
Thursday, yep.
Yeah, and there was a crash. It was a big crash for me and only me.
Yeah.
But it was one of those situations where I found out after it had all happened that one guy's disc brake rotor had touched the rear cogs of somebody in front of him, and I'm not kidding. When I saw it, do you understand?
Crosswheeling.
Yeah, yeah, I'm just
So his front wheel.
I'm a visual learner. I count with
just
my fingers too.
Just for the people out there that you know, cross wheeling significantly.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so it sent this guy. I'd say his front wheel was probably 3-4 feet off the air or off the ground, and everybody else went whoa whoa whoa, and I also went whoa, but everybody else came over to me and just swept my front wheel. It was nobody's fault. I mean, just crazy stuff happens, but then I began to go left, and I stuck my left foot out, and I thought I could save it. But then in that moment, my brain went, these are carbon soles on concrete going 25 miles an hour. No way are you going to do it. And I also, a little bit of me was like, okay, shoe preservation, which is terrible.
Absolutely not. No, I agree 100%. Carbon, skin heals, carbon doesn't.
Well, I know. That's the really terrible thing.
There's a time in which that changes, and I'm in that time.
Yes.
I will shred 10 pairs of $400 cleats before I hit the pavement.
You're serious.
No, I'm serious.
I'd grease it out and take one for the team. I would just be like, I'm going to be picking scabs.
Well, we have been, because after the shoe had taken that, I began to grab brake, But then that sent me over the right side, because in that, because as I realized, oh, the shoe's done, I don't want to crash anybody else. So if I begin to break, then I'll just stop and everybody else will have gone around me. Yeah. And that did what, that is what happened, luckily. But that sent me, I don't really know what happened, because I did hit my head.
Yeah.
Pretty quick, like pretty hard. And the helmet's done. Shout out to Pac.
Yep.
That's that one.
It was pretty minimal damage. If we need to post some sort of Pac picture of what the helmet looks like,
post
I can.
Post a Pac picture?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But, and then I just remember I was on my back and the right side of me hurt really bad, and I knew that it was not terrible, but I knew that I hit my head, because instantly I was in the fetal position and then I opened my eyes and went, oh man, I hit my head. I said it out loud, I remember. I was pretty aware. Ooh, I was pretty with it. Mm-hmm. And instantly I wanted to stand up, but then everybody, there was a firefighter, there was a doctor, there was a Sam who was a...
There was a Sam.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they were all saying, no, stay where you are.
Bunch of healthcare.
Literally the whole hospital was there. My fiance, a nurse, was there. Sam's wife, a...
David's, sorry, yeah.
No, David's wife, a David's doctor, wife, but also Sam's wife was there as well, who
OT.
Deals,
We have it all.
And then a neurologist came up to me after the fact, and all of these healthcare professionals came up to me and talked to me. But yeah, I walked away with no broken bones, thank God. A mild concussion, and my bars are done for, as we have been figuring out, Sam and I have been. And then, but other than that, wheels stayed the same. Wheels are fine.
Mm-hmm.
Can't believe that. I thought I would, I thought I would have blown those wheels.
This is why they're a forever warranty.
Yeah.
You can't break them.
The tire did. I've never seen a tire shred the way this one did. It the sidewall was just destroyed.
How fast were you going?
We were going 25 miles an hour. Mm-hmm. And then the skin
zero
suit.
0 miles an hour.
Yeah. The skin suit's done. It's done for. And the helmet
I've always found a little cheek to be kind of, you know.
A little tasteful.
Teasing,
Oh, were you a little assless chaps kind of thing going on?
No. Luckily, no. It's just a shoulder that's pretty torn. But yeah, I mean, I can race. I'm going to race this Thursday.
Yeah.
So I can and I will.
But not on your bike. As we
not
were
on
saying
my
before
bike,
we
yes.
went on air. Yeah. You still got to get the
third option I just thought of.
What's that?
You know how Phil Guymon cut the bars to like save weight? A while ago. You guys remember that? Cut the drops. Let's just cut the drops of this thing.
The drops the hoods. Are, I've never
drops
seen...
Drops was toasted. Let's just... You're only going to have hoods.
Yeah, there we go.
It's total low in arrow.
Save
man.
Weight.
Yeah. But I've never seen carbon just shred like that. It didn't crack. It didn't break off. It was just like torn.
The webbing.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh my God.
It's pretty crazy. But as long as the frame didn't break, you know, that's what I was happy with. Because I stood up and instantly went... How are the wheels? And David was like, don't worry about the wheels. And I went, no, I spent too much on the wheels. How are they?
Sam, you were in that race. So I spoke to somebody else who was in that race who was saying that afterwards there was a completely different feel. And the reaction of the riders within the pack was very it was very across the board. I don't wanna bash any individual riders or anything like that, but there were some reactions that of people who were not used to being in a mass start race where crashes happen. And there were very varied reactions in terms of how people behaved themselves afterwards. Did you notice anything like that?
I mean, I just noticed that everybody was super skittish.
Yeah.
Like the whole time after that. And I think it's just because, like, you know, we've talked, like, wasn't that like the Tuesday before that race or something that I was talking about how this is what happens when you put that large of a category difference in one field?
Yeah.
Is like you got people who are cat fours and people who are cat ones racing together, and it's like, man, I can keep throttling it the whole day. And you have these people that are just twitchy and nervy. And it's like, then they see something like that. And then the whole field is just like on edge. And I'm like, guys, we got like a, how wide is that track? Like 30 feet, 30 foot wide track.
It's huge. Yeah.
There's no need for us to be overlapping wheels.
Yeah.
So, but no, it was very different. There was a lot of people that came and asked, you know, how he was doing. And then the other people that had no clue, which was startling.
Really?
Wow. Yeah. I didn't know that.
Just because they were ahead?
I think they were ahead of it.
Okay. Mm-hmm. in, you know, we've with this race series being categorized, it's not classic USAC categorization. It's A, B, C, and D. A's being predominantly threes, twos, and ones. B's being
three, four,
you know,
and then it's an overlap each way, but
And so on and so forth. Is it being judgmental to say that? I mean, how do you do that? How do you decide if somebody comes up and says, "I want to race APAC"? How do you look at them and say, "Well, what are your skill set? Have you earned the ability to ride in that field?" Or, you know, I don't want to again turn it into even more roadie elitism, but
I really don't feel like, maybe I'm remembering this wrong, but I really thought back in previous that you had to be a three to be racing in the A's. Am I remembering that wrong? Because I remember wanting to get up to the A's really bad.
Yeah.
But
I vaguely remember that, but I think due to lack of volume of people.
Yeah, it has to be that way.
That's, yeah. And you know, those try guys,
yep,
they'll probably never upgrade.
No.
So the unfortunate thing is,
for sure, if not,
and
fives.
They were, in my opinion, in the cornering, like one of the worst people to be around.
Yeah.
So, but
they've got the strength to be cat one.
Exactly. So they would be totally waste of time and money for them to go and do B races, and they'll never upgrade. So, I think it's fair to allow that. At some point, the days of like we were talking about on our ride coming back, you and David and I last weekend. I mean, the opening crit over in Seattle was Volunteer Park, and there was two Cat 4s. It filled up. You had to register early. 75 people, so 150 Cat 4s.
Wow.
And that's how you had to upgrade.
Yep.
So it took a while for you to do that if you weren't, you know, if you're mediocre. And same with juniors. You had junior races. Those guys had to put in like months of ahead. It was kind of like Leadville. You're in a lottery. That's how it used to be. But now it's like, you know, what do we tell these guys that are strong that can win our race? Mm-hmm. You can't come because you don't have the skill.
Yeah.
It's a training race. This is how they learn. So,
Totally. I mean, it just sucks.
It's an unfortunate thing.
It just is what it is. Crashes are going to happen. I've always thought it's silly that we have crashes at SCR. It bends my mind, or Eclipsy. We should start calling it what it is. I think it is. He's totally right. It's just a part of racing now, in the road category.
Now, when you talk about half-wheeling, you've got a pack dynamic where you've got riders, you know, swelling and thinning out and things like that. What do you classify as pack riding versus half wheeling?
I don't think that changes. I'm pretty firm on that. I don't think half wheeling changes whether you're in a pack or in a, you know, like couple of people pace line. Like, I think half wheeling is half wheeling, and I think you can do it, but if you crash, it's on you. Or if you cause a crash, it's on you. Because like, if you're having to save it because the person in front of you swept over in front of you and took your wheel out, then like, yeah, that's on you.
So is there any? I please don't name.
But what
any
about
names.
What about an echelon? Was there a crosswind? Is that why he was in that position?
So I was taking into effect the fact that there was a crosswind at the time. Mm-hmm. However, the guy in front of me was not. I don't know because I didn't really.
Mm-hmm.
I closed my eyes for a lot.
Jesus, take the wheel.
In that situation, there was nothing else. But I don't think the guy in front of me was the one that swept me. I didn't see it all, but there was. I was taking into effect the wind, and I think that might have
been the crossover where they
crossed
over.
It could have been. I don't know.
Yeah. Which would make sense for that disc brake to hit. I mean, that's such a tremendous amount. Nobody normally just rides right there unless there's a crosswind.
Mm-hmm.
And that stupid disc brakes.
Now we have another reason to blame disc brakes.
It was interesting. I listened to Escape Collective and Rowan, who's part of the Geeks. They have like a geek one for technical, and he's a technical guy. He still races, and he said, "I did my first big," and he's a pro rank racer, 175 guys in their field, and he goes, "I'm I'm going to say something that's not going to be popular, but I don't think disc brakes need to be in a race situation because they grab so much. He goes, I see people, even good riders, you know, I'm paraphrasing, but yeah and that just creates this massive reaction. Mm-hmm. Somebody moves a little bit, you can, and then it just multiplies.
Well, it's just like, you know.
And he goes, obviously, wet carbon wheels are not a good thing either. But, and I've seen that. I've seen people just like all of a sudden, you know, even in the Tuesday night, they hit their binders and it's like, whoa, where'd you go? Yeah. I mean, it's crazy. Mm-hmm. But I think it's got to be a learning curve, to be honest with you. They're not going to go away.
It's like Maverick. But, he's going to hit the brakes and fly right by.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Hit the brake.
Brakes God, what and fly is that one stupid called?
It's you called can't something. Do that.
Yeah, you can.
No. Not the way he says.
Tom Cruise did it.
No.
Tom Cruise did it.
No, it's not Tom Cruise. Maverick did it.
Yeah.
You're really good at yawning silently, by the way.
Am I yawning?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you did like a...
Jackson, talk to me about coming back from a crash. Now, we obviously understand the financial obligations that are inherently absolute bullshit, in my opinion. The fact that you can't go into your basement anymore and go, oh, we got a second set of bars, we got another stem, it's all universal, just slap it together and let's go ride our bikes. That is
done.
Lunacy. It is lunacy that our sport has gotten to that point. But I do want to ask you about the mental elements. I mean, you've gone with, you know, road rash recovery, you know, which thank God is not that bad. You know, we've all dealt with road rash. You had a head injury, which is, you know, we only have so many of those. you know, we do. You know, you get so many concussions and you're eating through a straw and beating your wife like all those pro football players.
Yeah.
You know, sorry, is that over the top?
CTE.
Yeah.
That's what it's called. Yeah, that thing.
Yeah.
CTE.
Yeah. And then there's the emotional element of getting back on the bike and being aggressive again. Do you see anything like that? Is there any hesitance or are you just like, let's rock?
Because we were also talking a couple weeks ago how you were, you know, like more than happy to shoot a gap because you hadn't had anything.
Yeah, I mean, it's...
That's changed.
Has it, though?
Has it? Yeah, that's the question.
You'll find
that's
out Thursday, right?
Yeah, I think that to begin, like, coming back from it, like, the couple of days after were really tough. I couldn't really use, like, the right side of my body at all. So that was, like, a bit of a challenge. And even, like, realizing that I have to be in pain, like, not just, like, on the surface skin pain, but also like pretty heavy muscular pain.
Yeah.
I had really
joint.
Yeah. I had really like tough focus issues. I couldn't really like stay locked in on anything for too long. And just like stuff like that it's been kind of hard. You fall into, I think depression's a bit of a heavy word, but you fall into like a slump, I guess you could say.
Yeah.
Just realizing that like you just got to tough it out, which sucks. But then there's also, I'm the type of person that just like, I want to get back out to like, to just get back into that normal way of doing things anymore. I mean, I'm going to, wow, pretty.
Sam poured himself a good beer. Look who's all grown up.
But I'm going to stay confident. I'm going to try and just race how I always do. But you know, like I said earlier, stuff happens. I really want to thank everybody who reached out, who's said, are you okay, came up afterwards. I mean, we've got a great community here and I don't think that should be taken for granted. So thanks to everyone. We'll race on Thursday and we'll see how that goes, but I'm still willing to shoot a gap to win.
Heck yeah.
Good man.
On somebody else's bike.
Yeah.
Hey,
Sam.
I challenge him.
Whoops.
Yeah. I challenge him.
Is a frame built by Reynolds?
Yeah. I'm like, you know what? I've been eyeing a new gravel bike.
So three of us racing Thursday for sure.
I think David's done for the season because he's on nights for the rest of the month.
So who's not racing in this?
There's probably a good chance I won't.
Okay.
Yeah.
How did everybody's rest of their riding week go?
I'm not going to, there's no point in asking me.
Yeah. You got a gravel ride then yesterday, didn't you? No, you didn't.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Fail.
Yeah, I mean, I realized, like, because I just got back to town last night, but I was thinking, like, man, I did a lot. I'm feeling pretty tired. And I did, you know, close to 200 miles, which for me, it's like, you can obviously just hop on your bike and pedal 200 miles throughout a week, and that's not an easy achievement.
It's
but
a lot.
With a full-time job, and, like, I'm doing hardcore intervals, so I'm not doing, like, 200 soft pedal miles, like, I'm ripping for...
Wow.
So I was hurting.
And so you didn't do anything over the weekend?
You went bike free? I did Saturday, like, a hard 40 miles, and Sunday a hard 40 miles, and then took yesterday off, because I was like, whoa, I'm cooked.
Yeah.
But, yeah, last week got in, like, 190.
Good.
Then this weekend's the trip to Wallace.
What now? Remind me and the rest of the people listening to this podcast what the trip to Wallace.
Yeah, so one of the friend that does stupid things with me, the one in Bellingham, he's coming to visit, and we're gonna ride somewhere between 110 and 120 miles of gravel and pavement out to Wallace.
That word again.
I know. Choppy roads.
Yes,
and
thank you.
Smooth roads.
Yes,
with small rocks.
With small, very
with
small
little rocks.
But yeah, we're gonna do that out and then stay the night out there in a hotel motel.
Oh, okay. So you're roadie.
Yeah. Oh god,
privateering.
I'm not to that level. Yeah. I don't think I ever will be.
Come on.
I'm a glamper.
Okay.
Yeah, because then I have to do that same big day back the next day. You ride back to back over centuries and then tell me.
Okay.
If you do that in a weekend,
yeah.
Then
what? Then what?
You can talk shit.
Okay. Doing it. Gonna do it. Oh, I can't. You have my luggage.
That's good. That's a good point. I do.
Well, that'll be cool. That'll be cool. I might wanna I think feedback on that'll be kinda cool.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Paul, how'd your week go?
Let's see here. So Memorial Day weekend we had. That was the last weekend before, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So you, David, and I
rode.
We did 4 mounds. We were on a short leash, all of us, I think.
But a short leash is still 50. I got like 52 miles in. That's not super short.
That's great.
Yeah.
That's all you need to do.
With like 3,000 plus feet of climbing.
Mm-hmm. And then the next day I just went out and rode out towards Cheney. And
you did?
Yeah, just a tempo ride.
Oh, okay. I did... 1, 2, 3, 4 rides last week.
Oh, nice.
I need to mention it because I don't like talking about myself. I've been getting out. I'm AFib free. I had a check last Friday, and everything seems to be looking a lot better. I'm still pretty gun shy in some of the long climbs, just because I'm like going, okay,
like 4 mounds.
Yeah. Oh good. Well, I suck on that climb anyway. That thing is so steep; it's just horrible. How many feet would you say that climb?
I don't know.
Covers.
And I don't know.
It's not nice. Mm-hmm. It's not nice, and the wind is always going just at your back at the same speed as you are going, and there is so you're basically riding in a microwave, and it just feels like your head at any point in time is going to go and roll off into the ditch and explode. So the funny thing is I also have been taking it easy on some of those long climbs. Not taking it easy, but riding more of a tempo just because I want to see, you know, if I ride between 250 and 350 watts, if I can maintain that the whole way and just keep things going. And it seems to be working. I'm doing hill repeats for an article that I've been assigned to do. So my other rides last week were going out, and I had this climb near us, Cedar up to High Drive, basically. It's a little over a mile, and it climbs about 700 feet. It's not huge, but it's maybe 800 feet. But anyway, and like yesterday I did it 3 times, you know, just full out tempo I can do. And then on other days I went out and did some of my normal rides, but I get to the top of the climb and I turn around and go back down and do it again. Just because I want to, I'm working on my obvious weakness, and this has been a really good kind of an assignment for me. You know, thanks, Amariah, for throwing me under the bus here. But it'll be good, and I'm also finding it's really amazing when I don't drink like a frat boy that I don't go into AFib the next day. Mm-hmm. Who'd have thought, right?
Mm-hmm.
Sam's just giving me a judgmental look.
Well, I mean, it's like a medical thing.
Yeah, but, you know, and it's been a really interesting delve into mortality. Mm-hmm. You know, and just like you think you're gonna live forever, and then I don't want to become one of those old guys who's going, well, you better enjoy yourself now because someday it's all gonna be fucked. There's one of my F's because it worked for the joke. So there we go. I'm enjoying riding and I'm enjoying getting out there again. So let's see. You know, Thursday is gonna be my second race of the year. Is it?
Which That's sucks. Awesome.
It sucks though. Usually, you know, you're by back, now, though. I'd have eight or nine. Yeah.
Yeah. We have the next 3 weeks in a row.
Yeah. If it makes you.
We do?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's back to
it's
back.
Every
back
Thursday,
to
back, back to back.
Yeah.
And what's great is if we don't win the last one, the bachelor party's going to be ruined.
Yeah.
So
I'm winning the next
we gotta
three.
Cross
That's
one,
the
two,
Thursday
three.
Before we leave for our bachelor party.
Yeah.
Wow.
We're winning all of them.
Yeah. All right. Speaking of events, I'm shifting gears here slightly. Netflix's Tour de France documentary, Tour de France Unchained, is just a week away from release with the 8-episode series.
Thursday. It's this week.
Oh, I have old copy here. June 8th. Oh, that's in 2 days.
Yep.
Delving behind the scenes of last year's race just in time to whet the appetites for a rematch between Jonas Vingegaard. That's right. That's how I say it. And Tadej Pogacar this July. UAE did not let Netflix, apparently, into the team bus. Jumbo-Visma did, meaning viewers are going to get an unprecedented access to their campaign. Ineos Grenadiers, Groupama FDJ, EF Education, Alpecin de Koenig, Bora Hansgrohe, and Ajay Dazar also feature in there with interviews, insight, and new perspective on racing the tour. Has anybody seen the trailer here?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So two of you have?
Yeah.
I have.
I sent it to
I know,
the group.
I haven't clicked it yet.
I don't think I bookmarked it, but I haven't seen it.
I'm so excited.
Paul's like, Paul's like, why do I try?
June.
Why do
I
even bother?
It's like June or July that it comes out.
June, this Thursday.
Yeah, this Thursday.
2 days.
Cool. So don't even watch the trailer. This would be a total waste of time.
Mm.
Yeah. There's a Greg LeMond, LeMond story coming on.
That was the other thing I was going to talk about too. But thoughts on what this Netflix series is going to do for the sport, if anything. In other words, are non-cyclists going to watch this series? I mean, I've heard there are great documentary series on Formula One racing that have been huge. I mean, there was
and
one
I've
a
watched
couple
all
years
of them.
Ago,
and it's still going on. They're in their fifth or sixth year.
Are people going to line up to watch a Tour de France documentary? Do you think? Mm-hmm. Do you think we got a chance here?
It's
Jackson's looking a little skeptical.
Well, it's tough because we have been saying this year after year after year.
Yeah,
we
this
know,
year, this is the year.
Yeah.
Thanks, Lance.
Yeah, I think that the fact that Netflix is like taking over is good because they do really good work.
Yeah.
Obviously. But I
except the whole password sharing bullshit.
But anyway. Well, yeah, yeah. But I do think that it'll be really good. It'll be really well done. I'm excited to get to know the riders a little bit more. I think getting to know the characters will help. But all in all, I mean, it'll be another cycling documentary. And what I do think is that it will predominantly bring the cycling community. But then if it does really well and if it's really cool, then it will bring... I mean, Paul, you watched F1. I know you're into Formula One racing a little bit. But it I don't think everybody who's been into F1 has watched that series. So I think that it will need a little while. I think it'll be a slow burn is what I'm trying to get to.
Do you think they'll have to dumb it down like, no offense to them, the NBC coverage does, where they have to go like, no, this is these steps? Or do you think there's going to be a episode one and two, if you don't know, understand what's going on after episode one and two, we're not going to bother. We're just going to keep plowing ahead and tell the story.
That's kind of the drive to survive.
Yeah, that's what it is.
So I think like that's what they're going to
do. The format, and there's full swing too. They have a golfing one too. And it's more on the personal level, so that you follow the event, but they have the interviews,
sure,
and then they you know like B roll a bunch of stuff, you know, and so it makes it interesting. Even you know you should try Full Swing. It's about golf. See if that would work.
Everything inside my head.
What they do is
just
what they do though. It's more they focus just about as much on the. the event as they do on the people.
Yeah.
So you kind of understand, like, I actually learned a lot, even though I followed F1. I'm not a hardcore F1 person, but I started learning how that system works. I'm like, Jesus. I mean, it uncovers a lot. Yeah, and I think we'll be surprised of how teams actually function, too, at that level. And they will interview the writers and the directors and the sponsors and whatever. So you're going to see stuff that we normally don't see on NBC. Mm-hmm. So
makes me wonder, you know, in a very I have very positive thoughts about it, and I'm excited to see it, and I really hope it does something for the sport, especially with the stigma that road cycling has been dealing with over the last 20 years with the doping allegations. And thank God there were no doping allegations in this Tour de France while they were filming this, because if that would have come out, great, kick his farther step. Wow. I can hear that fly. Mm-hmm. I can hear that fly on the microphones. And David's microphone isn't even on. Usually, if you can, like, you can hear that fly's heart rate if David was here. And then the new Le Mans movie, The Last Rider, only in theaters, however. Mm-hmm. Only in theaters. My first question is, which theaters? And my second question is, would you pay to watch this movie in a theater?
I will.
Mm-hmm. You would, Paul?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Will non-cyclists pay to watch this movie in a theater?
Probably not.
That's why I bet it won't even see the light of day in this city. I bet it won't see the light of day.
Yeah. But Garland did one like that. Mm-hmm.
There's been several, just like they'll have like two showings just on a weekend. It's not kind of like
art house
normal
thing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But like you said, the Garland, there was one, I think, at Regal Cinema.
Yep, north.
One time. Yep. That I went and saw.
Something. I don't know. I mean, man, I grew up watching like all the Tour and everything. And I think like the most recent video that got me riled up, you know, about like, oh, this is cool. And then I think that other non-cyclists could relate to was a few
Top
years
Gun.
Ago. Oh, my God. Don't even get me started.
Maverick.
Don't even get me started. Is the Butcher Box, like, Criterion.
That was great.
It just showed an insight into, you know, like...
What it takes to
be a professional. And, like, Crit is so American. Yeah. Like, in every term, in every way, it's American. Like, fast-paced, you know, like,
F-bombs left and right.
Yeah. So, it's just, I don't know. I love the romance of the Tour, because I grew up with it, but I don't know if that's what's going to attract a lot of new roadies.
Couldn't hurt, though.
I think it's fantastic.
I'm just hoping so much.
There's a lot of people who, the viewing of F1 racing now has increased viewership on television or pay-per-view or whatever, however people are getting it.
Yeah.
So, obviously, it does tap a few people on the shoulder and get their attention. So, it could, even if it's an increase of 2%, that's pretty cool.
Cool. Yeah. Well, we know they're probably happy with watching it because it's not on Flow Bikes. Speaking of Flow Bikes, Keegan Swenson took the 7-Up Sprint and Carolyn Schiff took the win in this last weekend's Unbound Gravel. I didn't even know if it was available online to watch because of last year's mishaps. No, I mean, yes, I give Flow Bikes shit because of their commercials popping up at random times. I don't give Flow Bikes shit because what they're trying to do and how they're trying to bring bicycle racing into our living room, especially something as daunting as Unbound Gravel, a 200-mile ride in the middle of nowhere where you're not going to get a live satellite feed and you're probably begging for your cell phone to show you a couple bars so you can send the signal back. And you know, that's a logistical nightmare, and I don't even know if it happened. I looked around. I couldn't find it anywhere this weekend, but I was able to catch highlights, so to speak. Event was held under not so pristine conditions. The first 17 miles, I guess, consisted of horrendous mud, causing riders to walk as well as endure massive bike damage, and not just all over the place. A lot of riders that first 15, 18, 20 miles ruined their race. It was over. Mm-hmm. Online discussions have been focused on whether or not the organizers should have altered the route, which brings me to our topic for tonight, brought to us by our friends at Perry Street Brewing, official beer of the Pack Filler. Thanks to those guys. Get over there. Wonderful local neighborhood pub mm-hmm. with brilliant offerings, brilliant food, and I think one of the best decks for sitting out and drinking beer in the entire city. I want to talk about racing, pro racing, and safety issues that are considered at times and sometimes not considered. So to start with this story of Unbound, and I know Paul's probably going to be like, whatever, it's it's dirty road racing. Dirty road racing. Dirty race. Dirty racing.
We just you haven't even had a dirty. Filthy pills.
Yeah, I haven't had my filthy pills. Thoughts on Unbound keeping this part of the course that they knew was impassable?
It wasn't impassable, though, exactly. Because Cole Patterson and a couple other pros all were like, hey, guys, by the way, this is how you actually ride.
They gravel. Cleaned it.
Mm-hmm. What?
They rode it?
Yeah, they rode it.
They were in the front. Yeah. You think about like cyclocross, and you start doing all the bikes. When then that's where the problem comes. You're the first one cutting through, right? So,
I mean, I still think like, yeah, I mean, the ruts are going to make a difference, but you're sinking down to that same level.
Yeah, it was drivetrain in the mud.
Yeah,
I mean,
exactly.
It was that deep and that bad.
I mean, that's what it was last year too, though. It was pretty. It was pretty rough conditions last year. So, I mean, I think that when you enter an event like this, and it's not going to be a road race, I think you have to expect a little bit of bad conditions, no matter where you're ending up. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's super cheesy because that's what everybody says, but that's kind of the spirit of it.
Yeah,
is that rain or shine, you got to do this, and. It's going to be hard, but we're all like collectively, you're going to get through it together and you'll finish out. I mean, somebody won, you know?
Yeah.
So, and nobody, I mean, there were a few individuals, especially on the long course, that had to drop out, but that's because they're riding 350 miles, you know?
That's insane.
Yeah. That, now you're talking the XL.
I am, but that's.
I'm talking about the 200.
I was just segueing from.
Yeah.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage. All the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Do you guys think that in gravel... walking is an acceptable part of the event? Paul, I know, is going to say no. It's
I would
a bike
say
race.
Yes.
You should. You do.
This
really?
Is gravel has, you know, here's He's the thing. Like, gravel like has gravel no sucks. Rules.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So why wouldn't that not be a part of it? I mean, if the organizer or whoever designs this course throws a river crossing, you have to float and swim across. I mean, that's the whole purpose. I don't
Air
understand
up the
why
tires. We need a flotation device.
Well, I don't understand why everybody's getting all riled up about like this should have been altered. I'm like, it's a gravel race. What happened to the spirit? And then now they've banned aero bars, and it's like, okay, here we go. It's just going to be another race, and then there's going to be rules. The whole idea of this and the people that liked it was like anything goes. So if it pisses down rain or it snows in the middle of it or lightning storm, find cover, you know, under hopefully not under a tree, but you know that's the spirit
Everybody's
of gravel.
Spread
and it's
out.
Like I don't
best man.
Yeah.
So you guys are saying it in this kind of a situation, it is more of a rider beware.
That's what you enter for. It's an attrition. It's 100% attrition race. Mm-hmm. And so whatever is thrown at you, you have to look at the possibilities. Whether you look at the terrain, it's like, oh, Jesus, I'm going to need whatever gearing. I'm going to have to change different tires. You know, maybe go a narrower tire because there's less, you know, that's the whole, I thought that's what the spirit of gravel is. And it seems to be going towards
a bunch of Nancys.
Yeah. It's like with you. The spirit. I mean, now that people complaining because they have guys that are kind of like pacers for women to win the race.
Yeah.
But that's a part of the race.
Don't get me started. I think men and women should be completely separate races and different starting times. Completely.
Well, the big thing, they sprinted.
Absolute lunacy.
And the
really?
Yeah.
Why?
100%. I think these are two different races, and I shouldn't benefit from the fact that you got a flat and I got in a group with a bunch of hall-ass people that aren't necessarily in my category.
So you're a road racer then. Yeah. That's not a gravel event. Gravel event is to me start. Is like mass start. That's a whole. That's what everybody
your
liked
equipment
about
is,
it.
Really? It's just like Wout Venner got a flat.
Yeah,
and he lost.
Yeah,
Gary Roubaix.
But Wout Venner wasn't racing amongst accountants and
he got a flat. It's like he had a technical issue, and it's like I think that if it's a mass start, then everybody is hopefully your equipment holds up. The Check. Best man and woman roll across the finish line first.
And I mean, if you really think about it, like, there are a lot of people out there that are racing against YouTubers. You know what I mean? Like,
mm-hmm.
What is worth any, like, experience? I mean, it kind of goes back to what we were just talking about before. I mean, if we're all going to enter in, we all got, like, whoever's going to win has to have not necessarily the most experience, but just the best legs on the day. And it kind of comes down to our same crit thing. It doesn't matter who has the most experience. It matters who has the best legs on the day. It's like, who would have thought that, I mean, let's say Alex Howes wasn't from EF and he just won, he'd just be, oh, now he's Alex Howes, the one who won Unbound. Do you get what I'm trying to say?
Mm-hmm. I guess so. So
the other issue that they had, too, is because there was four guys sprinting for the...
Seven.
Seven guys.
Total.
Mm-hmm. And then they had the 100-miler guys sitting there waving to their family and stuff.
Talk about a cluster F.
Yeah, but the... To me,
every year I've watched that finish stretch and they always have a drone following the riders in and I'm going, they have that whole road. Mm-hmm. Why isn't it wider?
Mm-hmm.
Where you're telling people, you have somebody, you get a volunteer, dentist on a weekend standing up there with a sign in his hand saying, slower riders to this side, slower riders to this side, with a bullhorn yelling it because you've got guys coming down flying. Tour de France yellow jersey holders, mm-hmm. flying down. And some guy who lost a bet 6 months ago and signed up for this race, hey, look at me. They aren't going to believe this at the accounting office on Monday. And you've got these guys hauling ass down the street. Widen the effing road.
Yeah, that's a very good point. I think that is crazy.
I disagree.
You do.
I think this is the whole idea is starting and finishing as a group. That's the whole spirit.
Yeah, but
of
a 100-miler should not finish the same time as like those groups, right?
A 200-miler and a 100-miler.
Like it almost
seems
like it should be different day events.
Yeah. I think you guys are looking at it like it's a USA mm-hmm. cycling. This is not it. This is a Gran Fondo. How many times in Gran Fondos you're in the lead group and you're running across the same thing? This is the nature of gravel. And I don't see anything wrong with it. And if I do, that's probably some of the reason I don't do Gran Fondos is because I don't like that atmosphere.
Okay.
I don't like, sprinting against somebody and, oh, geez, here's so-and-so waving to his family. And I think that's great. That's a part that got him out and they're riding their bike. But I don't like that.
So let's do it. Let's backpedal.
So
let's backpedal just a little second. He is, but I agree with him.
I was gonna,
which means makes me crusty too.
I was gonna say it's a come as you are sport.
Yep, yep.
It's all inclusive. So the second you take one finisher here, one finisher there, it instantly negates that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, even cattle are sent into specific shoots before they're shot in the heads.
But we are not cattle. We have thumbs.
I've done that.
Oh, my God.
Oh, that was totally unexpected. That was hilarious. Also, on that same note, though.
Why am I going this way? This is odd. I've never gone, hey, out!
If we're talking about like, is this still a topic of race promoters and changing up scenes? Are we still on that topic?
That's where we're going. That's where I'm trying to steer this ship. But you guys,
I'm gonna just come a little local with it and say, did anybody see the post on like
RC3? I didn't get to read it. Yeah.
So they said something about like the time trial being on gravel.
I did, and I saw that word again on a post today.
Yep.
Right when I'd reached my absolute boiling point of the word gravel,
and then you raged.
A little bit.
Yep. Okay, I just wanted to, you know,
might need another box for my phone.
We can read it.
What is it? So they're discussing, I mean, like, it was a thought. It's not even a discussion, but it was a thought. Like, hey, how do you guys feel about gravel being on the time trial course? Terrible. I feel terrible about that.
Yeah, I don't think
this is a road race. Like, there's gravel events that should be gravel, and then we have a road race that is on roads.
Yeah.
I don't know. That's me personally. I'm like, Why are we crossbreeding this? Like, so keep road what it is.
So you're saying stick to your chute.
Yeah.
I like the idea of like Rendezvous Palouse where there's gravel sections in it.
Super different though.
Yeah, it is. But to have a time trial and a road race, especially because for the crusty old people, later that day is actually the district championship. So,
which means less people are going to be doing that. The time trial.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, if they did that.
Yeah.
So let's back up a little bit. We were talking about the fact that should the organizers have done something about the course conditions and made an alteration. And I think Paul kind of already answered this in terms of the spirit of gravel. The Gavia on the 1988 Giro d'Italia. As we talked about a couple weeks ago, in terms of its atrocious weather conditions, would the UCI run that race today?
No way.
Paul says no.
Nope.
Should they have in 1988?
I don't think so, but it certainly made for a great story. And all those guys who finished have, that's the uniqueness about road racing.
Yeah.
Probably the thing is the most epic rides that I can recall in this long history I've been doing this are nasty conditions. Absolutely nasty.
Yeah.
You know, like hailing, crying. Yeah. And that, in essence, that's kind of the cool part about cycling. It isn't like, if I wanted great conditions, I'd just be a Zwift racer or something. It's ideal. Get all these fans and, you know.
Yeah, control the temperature.
Yeah, exactly.
The fans don't work. The fans are a lie. Trust me, I melt every time I hop on the trainer, and I spend a lot more time on the trainer
than I mean, think about was it 2 or 3 years ago that the Frenchman, he races for Quick Step?
Alaphilippe.
Thank you, Alaphilippe.
Yeah, he's won a stage in the Criterion.
Yeah, so a couple of years ago, they shut down the pass because there was like flash flood craziness, right?
Yeah.
And it's like, I don't know. That's the closest thing that reminds me of like
talking about the tour.
The year that basically
decided that Egan Bernal won his tour.
That decided the tour.
Right? Yeah,
it did. And so there were no more opportunities to attack. They now intercept those things, right? Like they're like, nope, not safe. But yeah.
We see and hear stories of cars on courses, of barriers that are not properly set up, collisions with spectators, collisions with motos and such. Do you guys have any examples where the race was clearly dangerous or damaging and experiences you've been in? For example, I think of my experience that I always jokingly nowadays talk about the year I went to the Super Week in Milwaukee, which is inappropriately named because you would go there and it was probably 20 plus racing opportunities in the course of a little over 2 weeks. And you would go there and there were constant races happening everywhere. It wasn't a stage race. They were just individual races happening everywhere. And it was a great thing. But there was one day in particular, we were in I don't think we were in downtown Milwaukee. I think we were in Green Bay or something like that. And it could have been. I just, the details, they're gone. Meds. But I do remember the officials specifically telling us at the start, it was a wet day and we were crossing a river twice in the course, in the crit. And each time we crossed the river, we went over a metal bridge that was graded. While you're riding, you could look down through the grading, and if you stopped, you could see the river below. And it was raining. And they said to us specifically, I remember it to this day, riders, if you crash on the bridge, fist your hands so you don't put your fingers into the grating of the bridge.
That shit scares the hell out of me. Yeah.
This was what they told us, and then they fired the gun for a 1 hour crit at full speeds. I was racing Cat 1-2 Pros, and it was, you know, immediately out of the gun, hauling ass. Mm-hmm. And I remember hearing that, thinking to myself, what, huh? So and
did I hear that right?
Yeah, and I've seen other examples where you've had situations where people have wandered out into the course where you've had bad barriers. Paul, I remember you told a story once about a race that was so crash ridden that they just had to basically settle it in like a 3-up sprint.
Yeah, it was actually it wasn't so much the course; it just was such a massive pileup. And they had to shut the race down to get an ambulance out because a teammate of mine actually face planted and was unconscious and stuff. And so we were just catching Billy.
Billy's course,
So I was in the break, 4-man break, and I had a teammate, and we were just about ready to lap the field, and that's when it happened because people reacted once we came around the corner and they saw. I think people started, you know, making foolish decisions. No one wants to get lapped, you know. So then some hooked bars banged, piled, the bikes were flying all over the place, and then what they did is they stopped the race, and then we had a two lap scratch race for placing. 1, 2, 3, 4.
It's a bloodbath. I've been in those.
They hosed down the you know, with a blood spot because literally when I went by he was unconscious and I see blood running down the concrete. So,
yeah, I've been in a few of these like events with, you know, either big crash and they restart the crit and everybody's like, don't do this. Don't do this.
Just, yeah, we're not mentally here.
Exactly.
I announced a tour of Walla Walla where
that was
like
one. I was there.
Oh, you were a few years ago. Yeah.
And I was one of the voices was like, please don't restart this, you know, because everybody was, checked out. And like there was just a huge crash. If you started with two laps to go, there's going to be another big crash. Anyway, that's all aside. But I raced in the snow. That like they kept it going because they're like, oh, it seems like it's not too bad. And I'm like, there's like 2 inches of snow out here. What do you mean it's not that bad? You know, and so it's like, I think that it's just hard because you've done all this effort to put on a race and you want to see it through. And that's kind of part of road cycling is, you know, like having those events and the craziness of it. But yeah, it is unsafe.
At the 24-hour race, we had lightning and thunder and lightning. We had issues where people were coming up to me and asking me about postponement during the lightning. And I looked at them and I said, it's a 13-mile course. There are people who are out on far stretches of the course. If I were to stop the race now, how am I going to get word out to them? What am I supposed to do?
Hide under a tree.
Yeah.
And the tallest one.
But at some point, does personal responsibility kick in? Mm-hmm. And if it's lightning out, you should
exactly
shelter.
Exactly right.
Yeah.
Not the race promoter's responsibility to teach you common sense to shelter.
Well, especially in an event like that. I mean, I think that it's different if it was like an attack. Timed categorical, like, you know, race, which I guess technically, you know, 24 Riverside is, but I just think that that's a little bit different in the sense it's almost like a Fondo. So it's kind of like every person for themselves.
Other challenges that popped into my mind. I announced the opening of the Bloomsday Road Run this year, which is was for many years the largest timed running event in the world. Over 30,000 participants this year. And right when we were about to start our elites, a drug-riddled person was standing at the start line. Standing like there that he was ready to run the race.
Bet you he would have won if you let him go.
He would have ran his muscles into dust. And we had to... He would not move. And the race had to start at a specific time. He would not move. And we had to get security, police, to come and get him and forcibly remove him from the start line before the event started. I'm not saying this is a common element, but I do remember specifically when I was racing in the 80s, talking to some riders where a drug-infected person wandered onto the course in the final 200 meters of the race. The field struck him. He was killed. And it obviously took out several people. We do have these issues. As a downtown... we want to put on a downtown event. Paul, we were talking about this on the ride, and you were saying, like, great thing about downtown events is most of them leave. They go someplace else because they don't want to deal with all the crowds. But how do you deal with these types of events? This is the stuff that keeps me awake at night, I guess is what I'm saying, is I'm saying, okay, let's do this race. And all of a sudden, this demon on my shoulders comes up and starts saying, you got to be careful of this, and this is going to happen, and they're going to take your house, and some asshole is going to crash, and it's going to be the fact that he broke his chain, but because he signed up, and you're fucked, you know? So there's two. am I overreacting?
Well, I think that, I mean, to start on my own personal level, I mean, when I crashed a couple weeks ago, they were asking... I like that Sam came back with a handful of Skittles.
You're going to piss. You just went to get Skittles.
but that's hilarious.
I know where they are now.
But on my own personal level, when I crashed a couple weeks ago, they took down a lot of information because they were worried that I was going to ask for insurance.
Yeah.
Or I was going to get, like, I was going to sue. Yeah.
Yeah.
And as this person was taking down my my information, I looked at him and I said, wait. I'm not going to press any charges. I'm not going to do anything beyond just having road rash and walking away.
Yeah.
Like, I just wanted to really make that clear because I feel like there are a lot of people who, like you are afraid of, Dad, are the people that are going to look at you and say, I'm going to sue you because I was the one that crashed myself out. Because realistically, it's not their fault that I crashed. It's nobody's fault. It just happened. And I think that's ridiculous that people will blame that on there. But another thing that is difficult about this whole, like, downtown or our sport in general is that we are on, in the amateur level, a lot of, in I would say 85% of the cases, we are on open roads.
Yeah.
And so anything can happen. I mean, even in a downtown crit, people could not know what's going on, and they could cross at the worst time. And I think that's the issue that's at hand. But I mean, I will say that there are a lot of really great insurance things out there, because I remember getting information when I did crash saying, we can cover what your insurance didn't.
Absolutely. And that's why promoters get these insurance plans.
Right.
So then, and that's why they're asking these questions, because you can take advantage of that insurance that is offered by the USAC. I'm going to be honest, that's, in my personal opinion, one of the last things that USAC is offering us to put on races. Yeah. Event insurance.
Yeah.
Let's be honest. What else have they given us? Do we have a trailer full of supplies? Do we have marketing abilities? Do we have the use of their social media? No, we don't have shit. We're putting on a race and hoping people show up.
Well, and I think that's what's also tough about the current scenario, is that there are people that will race and understand that there are insurance, but now there's a bigger platform. You can go onto social media and say, I crashed. Look what these people did. And I understand where you are coming from when you say, oh, will somebody possibly take my house? It's because we are now in a society where nobody has any more tolerance for this type of stuff.
Yeah.
When I hit my head, I'm not going to look at the race promoter and say, this is all on you.
Yeah.
It's just, it's a bummer, because we could put on such great events if people weren't so uptight in a lot of cases.
How about this, though? If I crash in mile 10 of Unbound, or if I crash in mile whatever of a road race that it happens to start snowing, and the officials and the race promoters decide to keep me on that course, how does the decision process change there? Sam's shaking his head while chewing on Skittles.
On you. Mm-hmm. God, Skittles are so good.
We can hear everyone you're eating.
That's the best decision I made.
We can hear everyone. By the way, audience, when you hear a little bit of this, you know, like a... That's Sam putting Skittles into his face.
Skittles and pervy pills for the win. I mean, at the end of the day, it is 100% your responsibility to pull yourself out of a race.
Exactly.
It is.
They're not holding a gun. You can't, you know, it's snowing.
You said you were going to finish.
You're going to finish.
No.
Everybody has the right to stop or not enter a race.
I mean, I think, like, it's up to the, like, I would be more disappointed if a race promoter decided, like, oh, this is super dangerous and we should all keep racing because, ha ha, this will make a good story.
Yeah.
You know, as opposed to, like,
yeah, maybe it's some adverse conditions. If you don't feel safe in them, pull yourself out.
Yeah. There was a...
pull yourself out.
Barbie pills.
There was a race, this early stage race. It's Frozen Flatlands.
Yeah.
It was a stage race. And they had a time trial. It was a 12-mile time trial. And I showed up, and they're like, we're delaying it. We've got black ice.
Yeah,
I remember that. And I'm like, what? And sure enough, it was terrible.
It was like maybe the first week of April.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And there was black ice. So it was delayed, I think, 2.5 hours. And there was one section where I moved far to the right. I think you're supposed to pass on the left, but for some reason, this person was too far over. And I could see a gap. And I could feel the back wheel go.
Oh,
there
wow.
was just a section there, and it was still on the road. Did I stop? No.
It's gotta like, make well, up. Gotta no, make up. That was well, the last second.
Not only that, I thought, okay, then I just took note that maybe some of the ice on the edge of the road, because all the water's running off, is thicker. You know, stay more to the center of the road mm-hmm. where there's traffic and stuff and melting it off.
Are you listening to yourselves here? And we're talking about the shit. We're just like, we're paying to do this to ourselves. And we're like, whoa, that was a little slippery.
Yeah.
I got to make up that time and go harder.
Yeah. There's good nothing wrong with it. That's Lord. Why I do it. I mean, that's the whole thing.
That is the mindset. I was literally having this conversation with my wife yesterday about, like, if you were to tell me, you know, like, there's this event.
Well, you're begging her to let you come back in the house exactly. for all the money you've spent on this stuff.
Oh, yeah, exactly. Yeah. Okay. Like, $250 for a stage race, right? You know, it's yeah. not unusual. Or $250 for a multi-day gravel race where it's just like you have beer and have fun with your friends. Like that mentality of like, yeah, let's go be sketchy on bikes and go really fast. Uh-huh. That's kind of not there anymore. Like, I don't know how you bring that back. Like, you're crazy.
You know? I mean, the race was going on, right? I made the mistake of going to the right, in my opinion.
Yeah, see,
I should have figured it out. You know, that's... Mm-hmm.
That's bananas. Like, there's just not that mentality out there anymore.
Has anybody ever bailed on a race due to either crashes or weather conditions?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. You have?
Oh, yep. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I will send you... I'll try and write it because you're trying to get us to write.
Well, I'm going to talk about this here shortly, too. This is another topic. So, good.
I have a picture where I crashed in the crit twice because it was bouncing off the pavement. The rain was coming down so hard.
Whitworth?
Yeah,
Whitworth. Yeah, yeah, yeah,
yeah. Brand new skin suit, and it was shredded.
Well, that was just a few years ago.
Too soon?
It was about 2000.
Like 16, 17?
Yeah, probably, yeah.
Yeah.
That's how much the skin suit cost, too.
Yeah, I know.
Shit.
2016.
Yeah. Yeah.
Those things are too expensive. Let's really get onto that topic.
Well, you're getting a pair of shorts and a jersey at the
you
same
are. So two for one.
$400.
Yeah. No, it wasn't.
Well, that's what it is now.
Yeah, it is.
Do you know that your grandma May once actually took a jersey and fitted it for me and sewed it to a pair of shorts and made me a skin suit? Oh,
can't you do that now? Because I'm in the market for a skin suit.
It is hanging in the bike studio. Wow. It is hanging in there to this day.
Does it say a Arrive on it?
It does. Mm-hmm. And it actually fit. It was perfect.
Bring it back.
Yeah, with the black.
It was the orange. It looked like a Hitachi kit. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You just dry it off. Right. I was smaller then, so yeah. It might fit.
Yeah.
That is a fat joke at Pat's expense. Yeah. But I'm working on it. I have a 5-pound bag of Skittles on my stairs.
I'm helping you with that.
Not anymore.
Yeah. It's 4.5. Yeah. 4.5. Yeah. Do you guys think we are, like Sam was saying, do you think we're softer now, so to speak, in terms of... the magnitude and the difficulty and the severity of races and soldiering on, or do we look at it in terms of a safety element? Are we more apt to be lean towards the safer side? Paul, I know what he's going to say.
You know, I do know what Paul's going to say, but I think we're going to be surprised what I'm going to say. I think yes. I think we are a little bit softer than we used to be. Because I feel like I'm always on the side of like, oh, no, it's a safety hazard. But there are a lot of cases where, if I'm being really honest, there are times when I probably shouldn't be out there, but I'm still going to be out there, especially in the spirit of competition, to take advantage of that opportunity.
What are the chances of being struck by lightning? I mean, let's be honest.
Right, right.
Yeah. You're on rubber tires.
Yeah, that's a good point. You're grounded. Yeah. You're immediately
that's
grounded.
That's how that works, right, Paul? So you're the electrician here.
Kind of.
No. Wait, is that not true?
When would it not work? That little bit of insulation. You had the voltage that comes through those things.
I'm kidding. I'm kidding.
That's all right. I got rubber soles.
Yeah. Now I have superpowers. Or do we blame it on some of our litigious nature of our society here, which in this country we are losing a lot of abilities to do many of these sports that are out on open roads?
Yeah.
I think the people are soft nowadays.
Do you?
Man, the number of comments that I get, like, about the hearing the stories that I do, like, talking to people at the Wallace trip, right? Like, that's a big back-to-back day, but it's not really that epic.
No, especially because you're not sleepy, because you're sleeping in a hotel, wuss.
I know. It's soft. Yeah. Like, I talk to people about this, and like,
man, oh, I got a shower.
You're, like, you're really mentally strong. I'm like, God, I'm really not. You should see the people I compete against.
You want to know what I think is really crazy, though, about our sport? Is that, like, for instance, when we raced our first crit, they were like, how long did you race for? And I said, 20 minutes. Or 20 miles. 21 miles. Yeah. And somebody bent over and was like, oh, my God, that is crazy.
How did you do that?
Yeah. And it's like, I have readjusted my brain, and I know the four of us have, to think that that's nothing. Yeah. That was an hour at most. Yeah. It's just like, I think that when we can mentally adjust ourselves to just that's the norm, I think that is crazy because it seems completely natural to me.
Mm-hmm. Have you seen the t-shirts that are like, yes, 100 miles.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, all at once. Yes, my butt hurt. No, I know you. Yes, I understand you don't like driving your car that far. You know, it's like, geez.
But this is like the same question. Very out of the norm for a regular person.
Right. A regular person. But I do think that there's, I don't think that the mental fortitude is there anymore.
I wonder which came first. The litigious side, I think, plays a bigger bearing on that because all of a sudden we're aware of, you know, this is dangerous because people are suing. And I'll use this as an example. I brought up earlier in the show, Volunteer Park. It's an iconic race that it started everything. You know, everybody went there.
Still going. Was held last weekend.
Yeah. But it's not in April.
Mm-mm.
So, but it was a Cat 4 race. And if I can recall, this is maybe 15 years ago, maybe even more, 20, because I'm old. It seems like yesterday. But
I'm not even going to play the sound effect because you just basically personified it.
So this guy racing in the Cat 4s crashes severely and runs, I think, into a tree, gets banged up pretty bad. They take him to the hospital. They call the person of contact, which is this woman's wife, this man's wife, I should say. And so they called and she shows up and she goes, where's his stuff? And she grabs it and she goes, you will hear from our lawyers. And she didn't even ask his condition, where's he at, all that type of thing, and took off. And sure enough, they were suing the promoters. And Gino, who's the one that told me the story, and is like, what do we do about that? And Gino says the best thing to do is, like, that person's blackballed. Don't all promoters say, hey, this person will, if something goes wrong, he made a decision to go a little bit fast. Yes, there was trees, if you remember that. You're doing 40 miles an hour around that corner on Volunteer Park.
Mm-hmm.
And all it takes is a crash. You could possibly run into a tree. But mountain bikes, same thing. There's boulders. There's trees. And those things don't move. You splat.
And you are the one you that entered the race. And you're the one that was going around the corner.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. So then
preview the course. I think you can't handle it, GTFO. Yeah.
But
we can't uproot trees for this course because you might run into it.
We now live in a world where waivers don't matter anymore.
No.
They've beaten the waiver. Yeah. And again, I guess I constantly come back to this element of why would you want to put on a race? Eric, my co-promoter of the 24-hour race, and I, we had people hurt. We had a broken collarbone. We had a broken arm. And we had somebody with a head injury, all in the course of that 24 hours. All were taken care of. All were medically taken care of. All were taken to hospitals, anything like that. In fact, we had one couple in particular. One of the rider was injured, and they had to leave their vehicle out of the campsite because the rider was still in the hospital as of Monday morning. And he was fine. He ended up being okay. He was released, but he was sent from there. Our insurance covered it, and as did the individual rider's insurance cover it. Does that terrify me to the core? Abso-freaking-lutely.
That's crazy, because how I see this in the medical field is, like, from what I would perceive in that, is you did everything within your responsibility to take care of said human's life at your event.
True.
You handed him off to the next place. You're done.
A runner,
it's not your responsibility.
A runner on the very same weekend in the Coeur d'Alene Marathon died in the middle of the race at the Coeur d'Alene Marathon. That scared me even more, because I know I'm probably overreacting, because that's why we have insurance. That's why the insurance companies exist, and that's why you cover your ass. But who knows if somebody's spouse or significant other or family doesn't look at you and say, I don't care, I'll see you in court. The cost of going to court alone can break you.
I would just walk into the courtroom unrepresented and be like, go to hell.
Yeah, and that'll go over like a fart in church.
All right. You have this like grieving spouse over here, and then you have this asshole. Yeah.
those pews really amplify.
Yeah, it does.
Yeah, I'm speaking from experience. Yeah. Yeah, especially if your stomach's growling in church. And you're really bad
stories. Oh no! It's the damn wafers.
Yeah, it's
damn wafers.
Damn.
Yeah, that's crazy that people sue over that stuff.
They
like
do.
They entered the event.
Yeah,
sue them.
And that's what's happening.
And I understand. Knowing you as a promoter, and I know you as a human, you don't want ill will on anybody. And if there was an issue in the course where a lot of people kept crashing, you would, you know,
close the section
of
the course.
Yeah, exactly.
Now we're back to unbound gravel, by the way. But yeah,
but that was just mud.
Yeah,
people had to walk. So
yeah. Yeah.
But anyway, to me, it's one of those things we will never be able to stop that. And what do we? The 1% or less than 1% of the people that are going to try and screw you over, does that just freeze us? Do we stop doing the things that we like because they're going to sue the shit out of us?
No,
I can't live that way. And that is some of the reason. I'm going to throw it back to me. My wife and I are like, we like living downtown. We like to go downtown. Are we going to have the undesirables push us out? No.
Yeah.
Why not go there and, you know, force it the other way? Get people downtown and living and, you know, enjoying life, and pretty soon they're pushed out to the outskirts.
Yeah.
That's how we should do the same thing when it comes to bike races, and or, you know, and promoters should do the same thing. They should say, you can't look at the possibility of one person screwing you over, because then what's the sense of even putting on an event?
Assholes are going to asshole.
Yep.
Jackson got into a slight little bump in his car, fender bender, and these people, like 5 weeks later, all of a sudden brought up like the fact that their car was totaled.
Yeah, two months, and you're telling me that your car is totaled and you're injured when you're walking over to me.
Yeah, it was bullshit. They assholes were being assholes.
How long
and they,
ago
they
was
were trying
this?
To.
This was now, I would say,
probably we're going on
half
five
a year
months.
Ago.
Yeah, we're going on five, six months.
Yeah.
And our insurance, thank God we have a good insurance, who went, I loved how they asked Jackson, when did you have your car repaired?
He
went, I didn't, which means it was that slow of a, mm-hmm. of a bump in ice.
Mm-hmm.
Yet they were claiming their car was totaled, and our insurance adjuster was like, okay, I'll handle it. And that's the last we heard of it. So, you know, hopefully we're not, you know.
Yeah, I don't need that right now. I'm getting married.
Exactly. So, well, I guess, you know, we'll end this with assholes gonna asshole.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, I will ask one more question. In your opinion, in the pro ranks, does the UCI care, or is the bottom line the only line? Is it about money, or is it about the riders? Or is it a nice, happy, perfect rainbows and unicorns blend of both?
Man, I think it is a tough situation where do they care about the pro riders? I think that the pro riders care so much because this is the only thing making them money. This is their livelihood. So really, are they going to stop? No. They got to win to make the money. They got to ride to make the money.
But they need a secure environment in which to do it.
Yeah.
I'm talking about like finish barriers and things like that that we're seeing.
I 1,000% agree. But I think that in a lot of cases, the governing bodies will do as much as they can to make things as safe as they can. But in the end, the race is still going to happen.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree with that. Like, I mean, I think that UCI has done a good job of cleaning up, like, street, you know, litter type stuff in the sense of barricades. And man, I remember when Worlds were in Richmond and they literally repaved. They had the center island that was on for our version of that. And they're like, so it turns out that's a terrible decision and we're going to repave that. Wow. They went through and got rid of an entire middle island down this whole finishing straight because they're like, that seems a little dangerous.
Thank God, because Peter Sagan won that race.
I know. Mm-hmm.
You raced in Richmond.
Mm-hmm.
You did.
Yeah.
Wow.
For that's the collegiate. Crazy. Yeah, I did the collegiate version of the year before.
It's just town, Jackson. We can go there today if you want.
It's a really cool course.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, we've seen it on
Zwift. On Zwift. Yeah. I know.
Yes.
It is that course.
I race it all the time.
Yeah. I love that course. Yeah. That's my favorite one on Zwift.
It's cool.
Do we have a quick faith this week?
Yes.
A quick tip, by the way, which is also obviously brought to us by Ambassador Cycling, ambassadorcycling.com. Check it out today.
Thank you. Write in your questions if you guys have any questions regarding any of your personal fit issues. If you're having pain, write it in. But this one is actually in regards to what Jackson and I have been going through because we're picking out different handlebars, which we won't get too into the depth of that. But something to consider is that you need to have, like, if we're going off a fit standpoint, we have compact handlebars, right, that shorten your reach, but there's also a sweep that's in some of the bars, and that is actually where it's like a forward bend, so where the flats are.
Like crit bars. You remember the 60s?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. And they wrap. Exactly. Yeah. They wrap forward. So that's going to make your essential reach further than, you know, what a flat top would be. So just pay attention to those types of numbers. Like if you like your fit now and you need to replace your handlebars, or if you're just looking to upgrade from aluminum to carbon, so on and so forth, make sure that those numbers line up. But there's a very big difference between like your sweep and then also compact handlebars to affect your reach.
The drop.
Yep.
The depth.
That affects the drop.
Yep. How apt are you guys to ride in the drops? How often do you spend
time? A lot.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah, especially if it's races, fit, right? Yeah, I love
riding in
the drops. I
spend so much time in the hoods.
Yeah.
I spend 90% of my time in the hoods.
Training, I probably spend more time, but in a race, I'm more in the drops.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. If I'm off the front, I'm low on the hoods, but if I'm in like a pack, I'm on the hoods, or in the drops, because I feel like I have more control.
I think I need to get a refit.
Probably.
Yeah.
We should do that.
Especially because, and I also need
your shoulders
to work on my core.
Our
shoulders are still just toast.
You want to use your second?
My second?
F-bomb?
No.
There's,
oh. I've already used two. I have one left.
Oh, okay. Don't.
And
don't
I just,
that.
That just might be the cherry on that. You know, the bing right at the end of the
cherry
thing,
on the
you
know, fucking top. Yeah, right there.
Right on the top. So before we do finish off, I do want to take a bit. And let everybody know, this is something that I've been just inundating everybody in the show with lately. And I apologize for my long texts. No, I don't. Screw you guys. we're planning on expanding the written offerings. Well, actually, I'm putting myself out there saying that we're going to increase the presence of the website quite a bit at packfiller.com. And I want to expand the written elements, and you mentioned that earlier, of what we offer. And I want to strive for something that I kind of refer to as a online magazine for cyclists who get the joke. And when I say get the joke, it's kind of a term that I talk about where you take it seriously, but it's you're also willing to self-deprecate and laugh at yourself or laugh at each other. And I think especially road cycling needs a lot more of that. But I do want to ask the listeners out there, and I do want to ask you guys here, what do you guys read online in your cycling life? I know, Paul, you're probably a pretty big devourer of that type of stuff.
Yeah, and some books when it's, you know, cyclists do a autobiography or biography of a cyclist, I always read that on a daily basis or close to a daily basis. Escape Collective,
great website.
I use that.
And
all
good
the time.
Guys in the industry.
Yep,
really good guys in the industry.
And so those are where I get my information and stuff from. So, yeah.
Do you guys read for fun or do you read specifically factual content?
Both. I mean, for my field, like, I read a ton on new group sets that are coming out so that I know, like, how to adjust them and everything, because that's just part of the business. But I think outside of that, I really enjoy reading different adventures that people take.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's
yeah.
a big one for me. Just because the community of cycling, I think, is cool.
Yeah.
And different people's adventures.
I'm going to plug on Mariah Rook, who just finished Unbound Gravel, the XL. Mm-hmm. She got second in the women, was 12th overall. And I'm going to talk to her a week from. Well, I'm going to talk to her next Monday to have her on the show. So
very cool.
We're going to have her mm-hmm. on, just talk to her about that experience. And she wrote it up in Cycling Weekly mm-hmm. online.
Yeah.
Jackson, do you do any reading online? And you know, you don't have
yeah,
to say, no,
you know,
I don't do
I mean,
shit. I just do YouTube.
Yeah, no, I mean, I'll be honest. I work in such a fast-paced day that reading doesn't really. It sounds like a bit of an excuse, but it takes too much time, unfortunately.
Yeah,
with the little bit of time I have to be a person, and so I do a lot of visual content,
sure.
instead of like video content is what yeah. I mean, rather than like literary content, but it's something that I really do enjoy. I love to hear about a person's story, but I also, Sam, like you brought up, I really enjoy the hearing about the new tech.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I also want to increase our video presence, but that's hard. I mean, I have the capacity to do it. It's just
time consuming.
It is very time consuming. What would you guys like to read more of? What's missing out there that, and I'm asking this to everybody who's listening to this show also right now, what is, it's not out there that you would like to see or read or experience. Does anybody have any?
I think somebody who's really trying to work their way into the industry a little bit more, I would really like to hear about, first of all, like just a person who is pretty entrenched in that industry, their experience and how they got there. But also just like
which element of the industry, if I may ask,
I think any of it, honestly, I would just like to hear how people get into this line of work or into this.
So you mean racing or do you mean
bike tech or bike rev?
I know it's kind of sounds like a cop out, but it's literally just a blanket term of how anybody, any average Joe, whether you be, like you're a bike fitter or whether you be a pro racer or a pro mechanic, any of that stuff, I would really be, I think that's an interesting thing because I feel like when we look at this whole sport as a collective, it's just, you race your bike, but there's so many different pieces that go into it. And I think that's something that's really interesting. And also the average Joe working through their bike.
Yeah.
We don't really get to hear a lot of like, you hit a road bump. Well, like everybody experiences that type of thing.
Yeah.
Man, I would love to hear about how a mechanic got to where they are.
I was just thinking of Calvin. Yeah. How Calvin got to where he
is. Because there is a good book out there that I actually have that's about the bike mechanic, right? And they write just about what their daily role is. That's cool. But like, how'd you get there?
Yeah.
Did you start out in a shop and all that? Like, because I had a point in which
I got here. Yeah.
Be a mechanic for Jelly Belly. And I was like, yeah, that doesn't pay.
Yeah.
No, you know, not at all.
Not at all.
It's like being a chef.
Yeah, it's a passion. But anyway, I would also really be interested in, learning or hearing somebody's insight that is getting into it, because I'm always like, for lack of a better term, dumbfounded when like I have patients that come in, and I say patients, but clients, whatever, bike fits. And they ask me, you know, just like simple questions that, if I think, I pause and I think back, I'm like, I didn't know. You know, like the difference between a chamois, you know, short and chamois bib short. You know, just all the simple. So it'd be interesting to hear somebody's new insight into like, hey, I'm getting into this, you know, world of biking. And like, these are all my questions on nutrition and training and how should I be pedaling the bike? Should I have clips, not clips?
Yeah.
That'd be really interesting too.
Does anybody have any elements that you would like to, I mean, just say, hey, I'm gonna put you on the spot. Paul, you mentioned something earlier. You were like, I would like to write something about this. Your stories alone, dude. I mean, come on.
Oh my God, just put a voice recorder of this guy.
Yeah. I think I like.
I'll just transcribe it through.
I came from a family of storytellers, and it's obvious, painfully obvious if you go for a bike ride with me, but.
I love it. It's one of the best parts.
But that's what I look for, and that's probably why I chased down, like the story of, my next quest is to get a hold of Laurent Fignon. When we were young, I think it was called. I think that's the title of it. But his story of training and cycling. I like those stories behind the scene because we always see the glory part, but we don't like. I think Watts Occurring is a great podcast because you got Luke Rowe.
Yeah.
And they just like, what happened here? You know, I don't even know who this dick was. And the next thing you know, this is, you know, like Geraint's talking about this guy and he's like shoving me. Those inside stories that we never hear about. I mean, that's the stuff I love. I love to hear, you know, how he was feeling at, you know, Geraint was like losing the Giro was very tough for him, much so. Yeah. And I think he was one of the most gracious losers
ever.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I think Roglic when he lost to
Yeah.
He did it. I mean, he walked right over there when he realized and just shook his hand, said, congratulations, gave him a hug. Mm-hmm. You know, so those are the things I like. I like those backstories, not the things of all about glory. Sometimes the best stories are Alan Piper has tons of stories that you know.
So to wrap up Paul's view, he wants long-winded stories.
Yeah, that's fine. Well, there is no way we're going to outscoop people who are in Europe covering events.
There's no way
we're going to be able to be first and foremost with a lot of this kind of stuff. Our interviews are going to be far better off as this format, as a podcast interview. However, I think there are stories to be told. I think there's a perspective of the sport. I think there's, as I always talk about, the characters of the sport that are so important. And I think that's something that we can offer. And I'd love to hear everybody out there who's listening to the show to tell us what you'd like to read. There's something in the written word, I think, that is still powerful and still very enjoyable. And I'm not saying it's going to be, you know, your holy Bible of cycling, but I'm saying it might be something that'd be kind of enjoyable. So that's on the horizon. Last question, everybody. Final question. I'm only giving you the papers now because you have less than 30 seconds to tell me who is going to win the Criterium du Dauphiné. As my social media account calls it, the Criterium du Dolphin. who's gonna be the Dolphin champion? And you have to answer to me in the next 10 seconds.
Who's
off
the
this
one
list.
Champion?
Who's going to win this event? Now, because we're already underway, you know that, for example, Stefan Kreiswijk is not going to win it because he's not there.
It's a human hanger, anyway.
Yes.
Julian Alaphilippe.
Can you believe it?
You think Julian Alaphilippe is going to win? Sam says Julian Alaphilippe. I would love to know what you are on besides pervy pills.
Jonas Vingegaard.
Jonas Vingegaard.
He's not going to peak till the second week.
You don't think so? Paul?
Egan Bernal.
That's not terrible. That was my second.
I would love to see that.
I don't know what you're on besides pervy pills.
I think Adam Yates is going to win it.
He's fine. That's
yeah.
You know what I say?
Hey, you know the best thing about this?
Richard Carapaz.
We don't have to do any math.
No.
Yeah,
no, we're all
thank God.
And, thank God we have an accountant that listens.
Yeah, we did. By the way, we tied, bitch. So you did not win. And
it's as good as a win.
And we tied as losers.
You guys both have to drink
a whole liquor. Liter.
No, a liter.
Somewhere in the middle.
I guess so. Did we tally
it.
Your points?
I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. You weren't here, so you know.
Oh no.
As your grandfather said,
snooze you lose.
Yeah, I hated when he did that. It was my 40th birthday, and we made cherry ice cream, homemade. And I was like, "Where's all the ice cream?" And my father looks me in the eye and goes, "Snooze you lose." And I was like,
"He ate it all."
He was just sitting there for 2.5 hours.
There was
shit.
My final F. I finally got to use my final F.
All right.
And there we go. So, thanks, everybody. Thanks, you guys, for being
here.
Thank you.
Thanks to the Burvy Pills for making us absolutely disgusting human beings. And we will catch you next week.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hold up.
What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.